thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
All right, we're going to continue our sermon series in the Gospel of Luke. Today, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1. Verses 26 through 56. 26 through 56. If you're able to rise, would you rise for the reading of God's holy word? In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting. The baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for these words that we just read. Lord, on this third Sunday of Advent, would you fill our hearts with your joy today? Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, please be seated. All right, so the third Advent is about joy, joy. And what comes to mind when you hear that word joy? Oftentimes, I picture somebody like this, right? Filled with joy, laughing. And in our world, when I look around, joy often is tied to what's happening in the person's life at that moment. So if things are going really well, it's easy to rejoice. If things aren't going well, it's very difficult to be joyful. Now, in the Bible, as we know, rejoice is a command. So that means there's something else other than our circumstance that should dictate our joyfulness, right? It's not about what's happening in our lives, but often we just tie it to that. And to be a people of faith means that we live by faith and we don't live by sight. That means we are not influenced by what's happening in our world. You know, when I look around, sometimes some of us are really having a difficult time right now. And in this difficult time, how do we rejoice? How do we celebrate the birth of Jesus when your whole world is falling apart? And today's text actually teaches us exactly that, that we shouldn't focus on what's happening in our lives. But what is it that we need to focus on? Well, stay tuned. So with that in mind, let's look at our text. Today, we see that it's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Last week, we looked at how an angel named Gabriel visited Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth. They were both old. They've passed the age of childbearing, and Elizabeth never had a son or a child. And the angel basically told Zechariah, "You're going to have a son. And he's going to be the proclaimer. He's going to let people know that Jesus is coming." And of course, with God, nothing is impossible. So Elizabeth conceives at her old age. And so now she's 6 months pregnant. And we talked about how Luke was a documenter. We talked about how Luke was a researcher. So he's very careful and he's very detailed in how he writes the gospel. So it says here, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. So when we read that, we don't think much about it because we've heard so much about Nazareth and Galilee. But a town, Nazareth, is a very small town. It's a very insignificant town. And so when you think about God sending an angel, that's the last place you would imagine. You would think the angel will go to New York City. You think the angel will go to Los Angeles, a big town, a big city, where you could have a huge group of people hear the word of God. But no, it's Nazareth. So with that already, we're seeing that this is not a normal story. This is not a made-up story. So there they are. The angel shows up in Nazareth to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Back then, or if you have your King James version, it may say betrothed. It's stronger than an engagement. So back then, if you were pledged to be married, to break off that engagement, you'd have to go through a divorce proceeding. So that's how strong this pledge was. So here's a lady, a virgin, pledged to be married to Joseph. It says here, Joseph was a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So we're introduced to Mary. Scholars believe that Mary was 13, 14, or 15. So imagine someone who's 13, 14, or 15 receiving this news. You know, we always hear, oh, 40 is the new 30, 50 is the new 40. But back then, 15 is still 15, right? You're still not old enough to drive in the United States. You're only 15 years old. So here's a 15-year-old woman, and this is after God being silent for 400 years. Just 6 months prior, visited Zechariah, now making the angel's second appearance to a lady named Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Okay. So when Zechariah met Gabriel, he walked in to the sanctuary, to the temple, to do his duties. And when he saw the angel, he was shocked. Here, the angel just shows up to a 15-year-old, 14-year-old girl and says, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." What would be your response? Well, her response was she was greatly troubled at his words. Let's look at his words again. "You who are highly favored." Wow. I wonder what an angel would say if he appeared in my presence today. I don't think he would say, "You who are highly favored." You know, but that's what she hears. So from this greeting, you could tell that Mary probably was a woman of faith. And she is, of course, troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. She's no different than you or me. I think we would be the same way. What kind of greeting is this? You know, me, highly favored? But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." Okay, so this is a very common response from an angel. Do not be afraid. And then the angel continues, "You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." If a 15 or 14-year-old woman or girl today heard this message, and if they had no biblical knowledge, they would be lost. What in the world is this angel talking about? Now, if you have some biblical knowledge, then you're thinking, "Holy cow. Oh my." Because what the angel is talking about here were things that were prophesied earlier. So if you have biblical knowledge, you're thinking, these prophecies are coming true. And God is using me. And we're going to see a little bit later Mary's response. And based on Mary's response, we know that she had biblical knowledge. So there's a whole lot to unpack here. And if this was the message that she received, I imagine there are a million things she's thinking about. Not just, okay, I'm highly favored by God, and God is speaking to me, I feel special. But also, she's thinking, I'm a virgin. How can I have a child? What is the world going to think of me? In Nazareth, where everybody knows everybody, word is going to spread. And in a shame and honor culture, if you are pregnant before you get married, that is a big no-no. So she could be worrying about her reputation. She could be worrying about, am I going to survive? How am I going to survive this? At the same time, she's hearing that Jesus, the Son of God, that she's going to be the mother of Jesus, the Son of God. Now, here are some passages from the Old Testament. Right? Your kingdom will never end. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Also, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. So these are just two of many prophecies that the angel is saying is going to happen through your child. So how can this be? What is going on in Mary's mind? Well, she asks almost the same question that Zechariah asked. How will this be? How will this be? How is this possible since I am a virgin? Or some translations would say, since I never knew a man, since I've never had a relationship with a man, how can I have a child? How will this be? This is not a question of not having faith, but it's a question of how can it be? Because no one is thinking it during this time that God will come here on earth as a man. No one is thinking that. So that's her question. And unlike Zechariah, where Zechariah can't speak until the baby's born now, the angel just answers this way. The Holy Spirit will come on you. So the Holy Spirit. It is through the Holy Spirit you're going to have this child. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. This goes back to even in Exodus, when the power of God overshadowed Israel. So this means that God is going to see through this. That's how you're going to have a son. It is through the power of God. It is through the Holy Spirit. And we need to be reminded of this as well as we're living in this world today. Now, we're living in a very difficult world where we're being attacked. And it's not so much here in the United States, but outside of our country, there are many who are being persecuted for their faith. So how do we live by faith? We need to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit that fills us. The Holy Spirit that opens our eyes. And the power of God will overshadow us. This is how we live by faith. This is how we not let our circumstance dictate how we live. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit. Amen. You'll be surprised how much the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the book of Luke. Luke focuses on the Holy Spirit a lot. And that's something that we tend to forget about a lot. You know, there's a lot of emphasis on the Word. There's a lot of emphasis on prayer. But we don't really talk about the Holy Spirit that much. But we need to rely on Him. Amen? The Holy Spirit. And so he continues, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. So this is how Mary finds out. Gabriel, the messenger who went to Zechariah and said, Elizabeth is going to have a child. The same angel is now telling Mary what's going to happen to her, but also reveals to her, by the way, your relative Elizabeth, who is unable to conceive, is 6 months pregnant. And then he continues with these famous words, for no word from God will ever fail. I love that. Please underline that. And if you have a ESV Bible, it says something different. Same thing. It says, for nothing will be impossible with God. Amen? Nothing will be impossible with God. So if God says so, it's going to happen. God said he was going to send his son. It happened. Jesus said he is coming back. It is going to happen. Amen? So we know how it ends. We know how the movie ends. We know how the story ends. So we don't need to live in fear. Even if we look like we're losing and the enemy is winning, it doesn't matter because we know how it ends. Jesus is coming back. Nothing will be impossible with God. No word from God will ever fail. Amen. Amen. And that word, that this phrase, this sentence that Gabriel says, is actually cited from the Old Testament in Genesis 18:14. In our translation, when Abraham is talking to God, or God is talking to Abraham, God says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" That's that same phrase in the Greek translation of the Bible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? For no word from God will ever fail. For nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing is too hard for God. Amen? That's our God. That's our God. And that's who we need to trust. And that's all what Mary needed to hear. No word from God will ever fail. And that's really what you and I need to hear. And that should be enough. Amen? So hear these words. For no word from God will ever fail. That was good enough for Mary. So look at her response. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. I love that. She totally forgot about all the worries she had. By trusting in God, she was able to not let the circumstances in her life bring her down. May your word to me be fulfilled. That should be our response to God. That should be our response to the gospel. Tim Keller actually says Mary was the first Christian because she hears the good news and responded by faith. But she responded by faith, not really knowing how it ends, because Jesus was not even born yet. We know how it ends. And so our response to the gospel should be even stronger than Mary's. Amen? May your word to me be fulfilled. So it's interesting. Why would Gabriel tell Mary about Elizabeth? Because he could have said, this is what's going to happen, and then just leave. But then he gives all the detailed information about, by the way, your relative Elizabeth, who everyone said cannot have a child, is 6 months pregnant. In a way, Gabriel is maybe telling Mary, you should go talk to her. Go talk to Elizabeth. Because if you follow the story from last week and this week, how Gabriel presents the news, it's almost, it follows the same pattern. He shows up, greetings, they're afraid, don't be afraid, you're going to have a child. Your child's going to be great. It's almost the same pattern. And then he goes away. Who can Mary go to with this news? People will think she's nuts. If a 15-year-old girl said, hey, by the way, an angel visited me, and the angel said, I'm going to have a son. Like, yeah, what did you have today? Did you have Pastor Jay's coffee? Sorry about the coffee today. But the reason why Gabriel tells Mary to go is because Elizabeth has a very similar story. And this is why community is so important. This is why we can't live alone. It's not about as long as God and I are okay, I'm good. No. It's as long as we are walking together. We need to walk together. That's what the church is about. Amen? You can't live alone. You can't do this God thing alone. We need each other. We need to be praying for each other. We need to come alongside one another. And we're doing it. You know, when I pray for our church, and even yesterday when we were having a party here, it was just so good to see people. You know, people didn't really enjoy the white elephant gift except for two people who walked away with the two gift cards. Right? So it's not about the gift cards, but it was about being with one another, enjoying each other's presence, sharing your God stories together. And we're going to see that Mary and Elizabeth, they're going to share their God story together. So it says here, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried. Okay? She didn't take her time. In an instant, she hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. She rushed, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. There's a lot to unpack here. Greeting is not just a simple, hey, what's up? Back then, the greeting was an exchange. You know, you haven't seen each other for a while. So you come together, and it's you're sharing what has been going on. So I'm sure Mary is saying, hey, Elizabeth, I heard you're pregnant, you know? And Elizabeth is probably saying, yeah, you know, this happened, that happened. So they're sharing their stories. And it says here, when Elizabeth was hearing Mary's greeting, that the baby leaped in her womb. I've always read that as leapt. How do you guys read that? Did Mary leaped or leapt? Leapt? Show of hands, how many leapt? How many leaped? Okay, see, this is why the English language is so hard. It could be either way, but most people they read it as leaped. So there you go. So if I say leapt, it's hear it as leaped. So there you go. So the baby leapt. Oh, no, sorry. See, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Earlier, we read that the Holy Spirit will fill the baby in Elizabeth. We read that last week. So that proves a lot of things about life. But even the unborn child inside Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. The unborn child in Elizabeth recognized what God was doing and leaped in her womb. It wasn't just, ooh, that was a baby bump. The baby was filled with the Holy Spirit, was worshiping, was praising. Should we dare say even prophesying without words what God is doing? Right? Leaped in her womb. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." So she is further unpacking what happened inside her. It wasn't just a normal leap, but the baby leaped for joy. Joy. That's today's theme. Joy. Joy. This joy came from what? Can we say that it came from the presence of God? Right. So even the baby inside Elizabeth was able to leap for joy because of the presence of God. Earlier I said, how as believers can we be joyful today, in today's world? It starts with knowing that God is with us. It's the presence of God in our lives that bring joy. Amen? So if you're not feeling joyful, one question you may want to ask is, where is God in my life right now? How close are you? And I'll guarantee you, the further you are away from God, the less joy you'll have. Joy is not something you can manufacture. But joy comes from knowing that God is with us. He is with us. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. That message is for you and me as well. Blessed are you who believe that the Lord will fulfill his promise for you. Many of us don't even know what that promise is. No wonder we're struggling with joy. Do you know what the promise is? The promises are all recorded in Scripture. It doesn't feel that way. It's not about feeling. It's about knowing God's promises. It's about believing in God's promises. Amen? So no matter where you are in life right now, you know, it could be a relationship issue in your life or a job-related issue or church issue. There could be a lot of different issues. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on Jesus Christ. Where is he in your life? How close is he? Are you spending time with him? I sound like a broken record. Every Sunday I feel like I say that. Are you reading God's word? Are you praying? Are you walking alongside other believers? We have to do this in community. Notice how this happened in community. Mary, imagine if Mary didn't go to Elizabeth. Gabriel leaves. She's like, okay, now what do I do? But here she comes to Elizabeth. And they're comparing stories and they're saying, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my, me too. Gabriel came to me. So it's affirming. So Mary just doesn't go and say, oh, I'm going to be the mother of Jesus. But there's affirmation from somebody else. And that's so important in our Christian walk, amen? There's so many people I know where they believe that they're called by God. No one else sees it in them. But they act like that's it, you know. And that's such a dangerous place to be, you know. Word of God came to me last night. And God said that I'm going to be X, Y, and Z. Well, if God said that you're going to be X, Y, and Z, most likely he revealed it to somebody else. But if everybody around you say, I don't think so, that means maybe you had bad pizza the night before. And it wasn't God that you heard from, but you heard from that bad pizza reacting in your stomach, you know? We need confirmation and affirmation. That's why even in our denomination, when someone is called to be a pastor, it starts with the inward call. It starts with me hearing from God. Yes, that's where it begins. But then it's also the people around you affirming. And that's why the church has to see that too. And it's not just the church seeing it, but then we go above that and we say other presbyters, other churches, other leaders also have to affirm it. So it's a threefold call before you're ever ordained and installed here in our denomination. That's not something that they just made up. But when God calls you to do something, he is going to let others know as well. So if you're a lone ranger and you think, oh, everyone's hearing wrong from God, if you ever feel that way, let me caution you to say pause and pray. And just make sure you hear that affirmation from somebody else. Amen? Yeah. So. And then there is Mary's song. I'm not going to read the whole Mary song. I read it earlier. But this is Mary's response. The first Christmas song, if you want to say. It's beautifully written. It is beautifully written. And it is her response. And when you read through this response, and hopefully one day we could study it together as a church as well. She quotes the Bible. You know, so she refers to Hannah. She refers to the Bible a lot in her song. But the last verse of her song says, last two verses, "He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." To Mary, that was 2,000 years prior. Abraham was 2,000 years prior to Mary. And isn't that interesting that we're about around 2,000 years after the birth of Jesus? When is Jesus coming back? Who knows? Soon. But he is coming back, right? We don't know when, but what we know for certain is he is coming back. Amen? And that's what Advent is about. Advent is about rejoicing in Christ. Do you have joy in Christ? Do you? Do you have joy in Christ? Yes. So here are three things to remember this Advent season. Joy comes from his nearness. If you're not feeling the joy, ask yourself, where is God in my life? Do you need to turn your life around? Do you need to repent and come back to him? That is the only way, church, that we're going to be able to experience joy. Joy that could only come from God. Joy that lasts. Joy that's not temporary. Joy often comes before understanding. We see this in the interaction between Mary and Elizabeth, right? You just heard the promise, but you haven't seen, you haven't understand fully what's going on, and there's a baby just jumping for joy. So we don't have to know everything, right, to experience this joy. You don't have to have all the answers. But you can experience joy. And lastly, the Holy Spirit needs to continue to work in our eyes, in our lives, and we get to see our joy grow in him. As we live by faith, as we grow in faith, our joy will grow as well. Amen? Amen. Amen. So as we talk about joy, let me close with this. This Advent season, let's remember, because Christ has come, you could experience pure joy. Not because life is good, but because God is faithful. Amen? Amen. And he made this all possible by coming here on earth. He lived the perfect life that we couldn't live, but we should have. But then he died on the cross. He humbled himself. The God of all creation became man. Became not just a man, but a baby. He became a baby. He humbled himself. And he was born to die on the cross. And so in this Advent season, we as a church always end our sermon with communion. So let's come to the table. Today we're going to do it intinction style. That means instead of us distributing the elements, we're going to ask you to come forward. And what you're going to do is you're going to grab a piece of the matzah, you're going to dip it in the grape juice, and you can partake. The communion is open to all believers, all who believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. All who know that he came and he is coming back. All who have this joy, who has access to this joy. So if that is you, I invite you to come forward. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for who you are, Lord God, and this morning we come to you. We want to say thank you, Jesus. You humbled yourself. You became a baby. You lived in this imperfect world. You lived the perfect life. And you died the death that we deserve, so that us, by believing you, we could have eternal life. Lord, I ask that you set apart the bread and the cup for a holy purpose this morning. May it be to our faith, your body broken and your blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. We partake in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.